is America with Rich Valdez, powered by PolitiWeek.com.
And Rich Valdez is with us, former Christie administration official.
You work for Chris Christie, you've been in politics, done a lot of public service stuff.
Rich Valdez, columnist now with the Washington Times.
This is America.
Richie V, you're on the air with the nation.
The nation.
This is America
with your host, Rich Valdez.
What's up, America? I am Rich Valdez, Valdez with an S, at Rich Valdez on all the social media. And check this out, it's Election Day. We just passed Halloween this weekend, and the stuff that's going on is scary. New York City's going to vote for a new mayor, the state of Virginia is going to vote for a new governor, and the state of New Jersey, where I'm at most of the time, when I'm not in the city, we're voting for a new governor too. So meet the press. Right, good old Chuck Todd. He says things are not going good for the Democrats. And we're going to jump into that. But we had more airlines canceled, thousands of them, over the Halloween weekend. More than 1,000. Then there was the incident on Twitter where Poopy Pants Biden was trending. I don't really like that. I'm going to get into it in a little bit. And a whole lot more with his European trip, etc. Now, parents are freaking out because their kids were taken on a field trip to a bar. At least one classroom in Florida was taken to a bar. And they believe that this may have been a setup for woke school board members that are trying to draw out parents that they believe are bigoted. So this all started when the leaders of a public school in southeastern Florida took their school kids on a field trip to a gay bar. Now, it didn't matter that it was a gay bar. It mattered that it was a bar, period. Parents flipped out. School board member Sarah Leonardi announced on Twitter that she took students from Wilton Manors Elementary School in Broward County to Rosie's Bar and Grill, a local gay bar, on Wednesday afternoon. Leonardi said she was so honored, quote unquote, to chaperone for the school trip to the incredible bar. "The students and I had fun walking over and learning a lot about our community," she wrote. "A huge thank you to Rosie's Bar, yada, 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 yada." Let's get to the point. The establishment's menu includes items such as Big Girl Burgers, Ivana Hooker, Rhoda Cowboy, Georgia Blue, Willie Cheesecake, I don't know that one, and Young Ranch Hand. All right, whatever. However, according to the Daily Wire, the Broward County Public Schools announced Thursday evening that the children were giving student-friendly menus and noted that the venue was open to the general public during the trip. Now, look, if you have to change the menu because you're bringing kids from the school, from the public school, the elementary school, maybe you shouldn't be bringing them there. Right? I mean, adult entertainment is just that, adult entertainment. And of course, they made a statement. The Broward County Public Schools said, "The trip isn't part of our unit in inquiry, which teaches students about neighborhood safety, community helpers, the importance of being a community member, what it takes for a community to be successful, different jobs in a community, and social skills when interacting with others. All of that stuff is necessary. What's not necessary is for the social development of a child to be solely the responsibility of the public school and to exclude parents from making any decision as to whether they want to have their kids buy into this." Now, if you're saying that you're already complicit in it, if you send your kid to public school, I would agree with you. And I would say if I had kids today that were little, I would not send them to public school. When I was a young dad rearing my little babies, guess what? A boy was a boy and a girl was a girl. Nobody was asking them how they felt, what they did. It wasn't about their feelings. It wasn't about how they identified. It was about the facts. That's a little boy and that's a little girl. And to suggest otherwise because we've come so far with progress and this new progressive way of thinking isn't really progress, in my opinion. What's progressive about it? So now that we've been encouraging these kids to become the opposite sex, X, Y, and Z, whatever and whatnot, their suicide rate is higher. The transsexual suicide rate is higher. So I don't think it's helping anybody to say we should be encouraging these kids to come out of the closet. When kids were in the closet, they weren't killing themselves. Now, according to Law Enforcement Today, which is the one that I wanted to get to, they say the timing of the field trip, quote unquote, even though it's been done before, is extremely suspect. However, given the recent letter sent to the Biden administration asking for federal involvement in local school issues by the National School Board, it might be a little bit more than it appears to be. Another menu item is called Helena Bun with Smack My Cheeks and Make 'em Rosy Sauce. Well, that's a little bit on the risque side for the school kids. And of course, the other argument you're going to hear is, oh, but aren't your kids watching porn all day? Aren't your kids out there getting pregnant and doing all this stuff on OnlyFans? That's probably why they're doing that, right? Because we're learning how to do it in public school. And this isn't the only arena where parents are fighting back. You've got parents fighting back on multiple fronts. Here's another headline. School officials must pull porn from library shelves. This is in thevalleybreeze.com. And it's a letter from a mom that's writing in. And she says, "Mrs. Donahue was my school librarian at Hardy Elementary School. She was kind and patient, and she helped me find books like Where the Red Fern Grows. Just the right kind of book for a fifth grader. And she knew how to shush us and warn us in such a strict way, but she wasn't mean about it. Now, the mom goes on to say that during her first few years as a mom, during story time at the Cumberland County Public Library, this was one of the highlights of her week because she spent a half hour out of the house, and the librarian of her kids' preschool class always brought really good books, like We're Going on a Bear Hunt, blah, blah, blah. But in recent weeks, she's considering leaving. Why? Because the age-appropriate books on Miss Donahue's and Miss Haley's shelves have become the gender-obsessed, hypersexualized, and even pornographic books that have been pouring out into schools all across the country in the name of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And she asks, what is happening? And she goes on, and I'll share this if you guys want to read it, to talk about that book we spoke about the other day, Gender Queer by Maya Kobabe. And this thing is front and center in every library. Now, this is clearly a concerted effort. Now, there's always a concerted effort when you have a PR campaign and a marketing push behind a book, but it's usually just to sell books. This is to sell books for the sake of a change. Now, you're saying, well, you know what? American Marxism by Mark Levin is a book that aims to change things. It does. It aims to mainly change things back to the way they were, the way they were intended to be, the way the founding documents of the country have guided this country since its inception. And for the last, 50, maybe even 100 years, there's been a steady drip of opposition. And that opposition has taken root. And like Mark says in the book, it's here. And that's the scary part. Because now your children are being given options that we didn't even know existed once. So call me old-fashioned, call me crazy, but I'm not really interested in expanding my horizon as much. And again, I'm not saying, oh, are you against gay marriage? It's not about being against gay marriage. It's about being for what you believe. There's nothing wrong with standing up for the things that you've always thought were right. And just because somebody tells me that they're wrong doesn't make my belief wrong just because you disagree with them. And of course, that goes vice versa. I'm not telling those people they can't get married. They changed the law. They did it. I'm saying that we've got to do what we've got to do to make sure these things don't happen anymore. Otherwise, we're not going to have a place to fit in this society. We're going to be outcast, just like the 9,000 people that have been outcast from society. And we're going to get to that in a second with Mayor Bill de Blasio pushing out 9,000 public employees, and that's soon to grow to 26,000 employees because of the vaccine mandate. But I think this stuff is all backfiring because if we listen to Chuck Todd, we learn that these guys are just not doing that well, right? Not doing that well at all. Things must be really, really stressful for Chuck Todd. Listen to this.
Happy Halloween. We have a brand new NBC News poll out this morning that's filled with some scary news for the Democrats. The overarching message, Americans have lost their confidence in President Biden and their optimism for the country, at least they have right now. Just 22% of adults say we're headed in the right direction. A shocking 71% say we're on the wrong track. And that includes a near majority of Democrats who are saying that. President Biden's approval rating stands at a dismal 42% versus 54% who disapprove. Believe it or not, just 2 months ago, Mr. Biden was in positive territory, 49% approving, 48% disapproving. So what's pulling down the president's numbers? Well, look at this set of numbers. Just 37% say he has the ability right now to handle a crisis versus nearly a majority who say he does not. 37% also say he's competent and effective as president. 50% disagree with that description. What's more, Republicans, believe it or not, have double-digit leads in dealing with border security, inflation, crime, national security, the economy, and shockingly, on getting things done. Democrats hold generally smaller double-digit leads on dealing with climate change, the coronavirus, education, and abortion. And that's really it right now. It's not clear yet whether any deal struck by Democrats on the social spending and infrastructure bills will nudge Mr. Biden's numbers back into positive territory, or whether the damage to his reputation is more of a scar than a bruise. But this much is clear about the only good news for Mr. Biden and the Democrats in this poll is that the midterm elections aren't for another year.
There you go. 18% think he sucks on the economy and Republicans are better at it. That's the one that's going to sink him.
President Biden struggling at home, now facing allies in Europe without the political victory he had been hoping for. The 18-point Republican edge on handling of the economy is fueled by economic pessimism. 79% call the economy fair or poor. Just 41% of Democrats believe the country is headed in the right direction, down 23 points since April.
Then he's got this 20-some-odd percent, and he's in the 50-plus percentile of negativity. This is not good. Now, what is Joe Biden to do? What's he going to do? Stressful situation for Joe Biden, stressful for any Democrat. Now, get this, another poll that I'm looking at says here, 58% majority of Americans are familiar with, guess what? Yes, the Let's Go Brandon chant. And this is a poll that was being reported here on conventionofstates.com. 58% of majority of Americans familiar with the movement. 76% of those are familiar and support it as the appropriate way to protest. Yeah, I guess they call that free speech, although vulgar, I will say. But another one, Newsmax.com. 72% of voters say IRS collects too much personal info. So you've got the IRS scandal where they want to track all of these expenditures that are more than $600. They want to hire 85 or 84,000 new agents. You've heard about this a million times, but people are tired of hearing of this. People are tired of hearing about $450,000 going to illegal immigrants. And again, I'm not trying to vilify the immigrant. I'm trying to vilify the government. Those that are helping the Let's Go Brandon movement, right? The people that are ruining the country. Joe Biden's in bad shape. It's making Democrats very nervous and very stressed out all across the country. This is going to be a nail biter of an election day, even if they squeak out a couple of wins in a few different places. New York City right now, I think, is up for grabs. We may potentially see Republican Curtis Sliwa win. We've got Virginia where there's a 1-point lead that's well within the margin of error. So lots of things can happen. Anything can happen. This is the key here, right? You've got the New Jersey statistic. If there's a Democrat in the White House and a Democrat incumbent, the Republican wins. At least that's been the case for the last 40 years. I think we could see all of these trends go in different directions. I would not be surprised if Republicans won across the board, but I wouldn't be surprised if Democrats won across the board either, because they're expected to win in these Democrat strongholds, right? You've got a Democrat incumbent now that's trying to pass the torch in Virginia. You've got a Democrat incumbent now in New Jersey, Phil Murphy, that is trying to get reelected. And again, de Blasio trying to pass the torch over to elite Eric Adams. So we'll see what happens, but nonetheless, a stressful moment. And stress is one of the things that messes me up all the time, because when I get stressed out, I tend to eat a lot. When you're on a diet, and I've been on this keto diet on and off for the last 4 years, I lost 50 pounds, by the way, and it works pretty well for me, but you got to know what you're doing. Make sure you watch your sodium levels and all that stuff. But it's important. It's important for everything, because you have to learn how to manage your daily stress, because this is something we all have to do. We don't know how to do it, but what I use is Noom, Noom.com. Noom is here to guide you with your mood, right? So that you have positive mental wellness, and it gives you all the tools that you need to handle what you don't typically expect to catch that life is throwing at you. I'm a huge believer in Noom weight loss, and I'm really excited to continue using Noom Mood. Now, Noom Mood, it's backed by science and psychological principles that teach you about your relationship with stress and anxiety. Doesn't get better than that. You're stronger than your stress. Need to get control of you. You need to get control of it. So equip yourself with the knowledge and the skills to steer yourself to happiness. One size doesn't fit all for everybody. You've got to navigate this program at your own pace, but you'll have the support of a coach every step of the way. Noom are experts in behavior change, and they've helped millions of people through their weight loss program. So you know they can help tackle stress too. All you need is 10 minutes a day, and it's an app. So it's there for you anytime, anywhere. Worry less, feel happier. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/thisisamerica. Go to Noom.com/thisisamerica. Trust me, you don't want to be stressed out and have anxiety. You want to be able to collect your thoughts and pace yourself. Noom is the way to do it. Noom.com/thisisamerica. Now, don't move a muscle. We're going to talk a little bit more about what's going on, all of the top headlines. And I got a little surprise for you. So keep it locked right there. I'm Rich Valdez. This is America.
This is America. This is America.
What's up, America? I am Rich Valdez, Valdez with an S, your liberty-loving Latino amigo. We're back, and I wanted you to check out this quick little factoid I got here from our buddies at JustFacts.com. It's a question of the day, and it's, which of the following people wrote in 2012 that the benefits of conducting, quote-unquote, gain-of-function experiments on highly pathogenic viruses outweighs the risks? Was it Dr. Scott Atlas? Dr. Deborah Birx, Dr. Francis Collins, or Dr. Anthony Fauci? Let's see. I'm picking Dr. Fauci.
Paging Dr. Fauci.
Let's see if I'm right when I click submit. And I am correct. And 97% of people that answered this question were correct. It says here, tell us more. In a 2012 commentary published by MBio, a peer-reviewed journal of the American Society of Microbiology, Dr. Anthony S. Fauci, I wonder what the S is for. You figure that one out. Wrote that the voluntary moratorium of gain-of-function research related to the transmissibility of highly pathogenic H5N1 influenza virus should continue until certain conditions are met. But scientists working in this field might say, as indeed I have said, that the benefits of such experiments and the resulting knowledge outweigh the risks. It is more likely that a It's more likely that a pandemic would occur in nature, and the need to stay ahead of such a threat is the primary reason for performing an experiment that might appear to be risky. That's Fauci. Fauci is currently the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and the chief medical advisor to President Biden. So that's brought to you, by the way, our friends at JustFacts.com, our policy partners. I urge you to go check them out. JustFacts.com/rich. That's my name, JustFacts.com/rich. And you can get all of these types of little factoids sent to your inbox every single day. And you can stay up to speed on the important research that they're doing. Now, I talked about this because there's a lot of stuff going on, right? I mean, the vaccine mandates are still plaguing places, including New York City, all across America. People are still out there in masse. It's a big deal. For example, Mayor Bill de Blasio, he quite candidly says, well, we got 9,000 people that are out right now as of yesterday, as of Monday, that are just not at work. I was riding a parade float with Curtis Sliwa and Governor Pataki yesterday, and there was barely traffic in Midtown Manhattan. That's crazy. That's when you realize there's no fire trucks on the road, or there's a lot less fire trucks on the road, a lot less cop cars on the road, a lot less ambulances on the road, garbage trucks. Not good, no bueno. But Bill de Blasio says, listen, right now we're looking at 9,000. It's going to work its way up to 24, 26,000. Check this out.
We leave without pay today, so let's do it again. 9,000 city employees in leave without pay status at this moment out of a workforce of almost 400,000. So that's less than 6% of the entire workforce. Now, again, every one of those 9,000 is welcome to come back, get vaccinated. We've got about 12,000 who have applied for a religious or medical exemption. That will be worked on over the coming days, and they'll get their answer. Either they get the exemption or they don't, and then they should act accordingly. If they don't get the exemption, come back to work. If they do, then they do.
Now, to add insult to injury, Mayor Bill de Blasio on Tuesday says to the union leaders, you guys are downright unpatriotic, and that's a quote, for opposing his COVID-19 vaccine mandate, threatening consequences for FDNY firefighters who took part in an alleged sick out over the issue. During an appearance on MSNBC's Morning Joe, and this is according to the New York Post, by the way, after the deadline for most city employees to get the vaccine or face suspension without pay, his honor says the unspecified union bosses are doing exactly the wrong thing. There are some union leaders who've stepped up in recent days and said, okay, guys, the law is the law. This went to court. It was decided. Now it's time to get vaccinated. Now, hold up. I don't care what union you represent to say that who makes laws that says that you have to get vaccinated. This is why they're walking away and retiring. And I'm sure a lot of them are going to end up quitting because people aren't going to say, I'm not going to trade a paycheck just so that you could put whatever you want to put inside of me. Right? But that's what they're talking about. If you try to put something else and try to inside of somebody, sometimes they call that rape, right? Yeah, so don't do that. But several unions have been downright unpatriotic in the way they've handled this, said de Blasio, because they've put their own internal politics ahead of the needs of the people. The mayor's comments come one day after about 2,300 firefighters called out sick and more than double the usual 1,000 are leaving 18 fire and ladder companies, saying temporarily out of service. Many of them are unmanned. Matter of fact, Councilman Joe Borelli tweeted out a picture of one that said, hey, we're out of order because of the vaccine mandate. I tweeted that out if you want to check it out, at Rich Valdez with an S, at Rich Valdez. And I'm on Getter and Instagram and all of that stuff. So be generous, give a follow, try to keep in touch. I love to hear from you guys and get show ideas and things of that nature. Anyway, it goes on. De Blasio says, there are very few, in my view, not only angry, but wrongheaded folks spreading lies, spreading misinformation, and endangering their colleagues. They're endangering their fellow New Yorkers, is what De Blasio says. So now he says 92% of the city's workforce has gotten at least one vaccine. Those who haven't by Monday included those 9,000, and this is scheduled to go straight up because there's a lot more. The FDNY has an overall vaccination rate of 82%, with 78% of the firefighters being vaccinated. 89% of EMS and 91% of its civilian employees have gotten at least one shot, according to data that came out today, Tuesday. De Blasio accused the firefighters who've called out sick for leaving their colleagues in the lurch and creating a danger for all New Yorkers. Well, you know, this is where I told my buddy Curtis Lewa, these guys are all eventually going to be replaced by BLM and Antifa. This is what he wants to do. You either bend to my will or you don't. Roll or get rolled over. You have to hear the way he speaks. He's like a fascist. This is not the way you run a city. Nobody thinks he's doing a good job. I don't think he thinks he's doing a good job, but he does, right? He just does what he does because he is who he is. He's just trying to keep himself in the public eye so he can run for governor, which is his next step. Anyway, at a separate press conference on Tuesday, Uniform Firefighters Association President Andrew Ainsborough denied smoke eaters were staging a sick out over the mandate. All right, I'm not familiar with this term for firefighters, although I have a lot of respect for firefighters. Big shout out to all the firefighters and, of course, the cops, the EMS, and everybody out there putting their lives on the line, the United States military, of course, among them. Now, what do you think about this? Let me know at Rich Valdez on all the social media. I'd love to hear your thoughts because I think that this is a big deal and it's not the end of it, right? They're going to continue to go through all of this stuff, the back and forth, more court, more this, and I don't know which side we're going to land on. Are we going to have a bunch of unemployed firefighters and cops? I don't know. I know one firefighter personally through a friend, and he put in his papers last Friday. And he said, you know what, I'm retiring, because he was eligible to retire. I would suspect, trying to speak faster than I can, I would suspect that those guys that are in their 20s, that are new to the job, that don't have the time in, are going to feel the most pressure because they probably have small kids and they want the benefits and they want the job. And you know, I get it. Not everybody's prepared to walk away from money because of their beliefs. And I understand that. It's probably not something I would do, but I understand. Everybody has their own hill to die on. And we'll see how many that is for this. And I'm not saying people need to. Although sometimes you just kind of expect people who enforce and rely and live on principle, mainly in the military, right? My opinion has always been, especially during the Afghanistan debacle, why weren't there more generals than Stuart Scheller, or he's a lieutenant colonel, but why weren't there more coming out and saying, what you're doing is wrong, putting their careers on the line, risking going to jail, because that's part of that gig, at least as much as I thought. Since then, I've learned that there's a lot of woke people in the military. And you've heard that audio, and I've put it out there on social media, of that one woman, Cindy, whatever her name was, short-haired lesbian staff sergeant, that basically said she was going to shoot American citizens if they didn't listen to her during martial law. And she's still up there on Twitter and TikTok and all over the place. So it's a different world with different people in it. And this vaccine mandate, all done in the name of the coronavirus. Now, speaking about the coronavirus, I'm looking at the Phuket Times, right? Is that it, right? Indonesia? Phuket? Anyway, in Fa Nang, or is that the name? That's the name. Forgive me. I have sinned. Fang Na. And I don't mean to be flippant here because this person's now gone. This student loses their leg after taking the vaccine. And this is reported in multiple outlets, but I'm reading it from the PhuketNews.com, that Fang Na, student loses leg after second cross jab, then dies. Bangkok. A student in Phang Nga, okay, so that's not his name, that's the place. Somebody call security, this guy doesn't know his geography. This guy being me, who developed blood clots after getting the second COVID-19 vaccine shot and had her left leg amputated. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Has died of a hemorrhagic stroke after brain surgery. Oh, goodness. I feel terrible. Ketsari Kunga Q, 20 years old, a student at Phang Nga Community College, died Monday morning on October 25th, last week, at Songkhla Garind, I hope I said that right, hospital, according to the Thai media. She'd been inoculated with the first Sinovac vaccine and then given AstraZeneca as her second dose. Her grandmother, Harlia Kongkayu, 85 years old, of Ban Thaden village in Muang district of Hangna, took the young woman's body from Songkhalagiran Hospital on Monday afternoon for Islamic funeral rites in Ao Luk district of Krabi province. Wow. They traveled to a rescue foundation vehicle. The old woman has a small grocery shop in Ban Thaden, and her granddaughter lived there with her. Adul Chuta, I'm sorry, I don't know how to say these words. I should have taken a half hour to learn people's names. Jeez. Adul Chutang, chief of Muang Pangna district, led local officials and teachers in offering moral support to the old woman and other relatives. Ketsari's body was to be interred at Banbagan burial ground in Ao Luk district. After the ceremony, the grandmother was to return to her house in the Ko Pai Ni in Pangna province. Aumpong Tamorang, 25, a classmate of Ketsari, from the same village, said that a doctor from Songkhalagiran Hospital had phoned the grandmother late on Friday night, asking for permission to perform surgery. The doctor said Ketsari had bleeding in her brain. Man, this is a horrible story. This girl's as old as my daughter. The grandmother and relatives gave their permission. After the operation, the young woman remained unconscious. She was reliant on a ventilator and is pronounced dead on Monday morning after a hemorrhagic stroke. Oh, God be with her. The doctor said the brain hemorrhage was a side effect of the thrombolytic drugs used to treat the blood clots, according to Dr. Aumpong. Ketsari was reported to have earlier suffered an acute arterial occlusion or blockage of a limb artery after receiving the AstraZeneca vaccine as her second shot. According to Jamas Kandapol, director of the Pangna Community College, she began feeling unwell after her second shot on August 13th. She complained of fever and chest pains. About 3 days later, her classmate Aumpong said she would see a doctor at Pangna Hospital who diagnosed her with a bladder infection. Ketsari was later rushed back to the hospital after she experienced severe pain in her left leg. She was referred to the Surat Thani Hospital, where an x-ray revealed blood clots that were requiring urgent surgery. As her condition continued to worsen, the hospital transferred her to the better-equipped Krabi Hospital, then to Songkhalagiran Hospital in Hat Yai, where doctors decided to amputate her leg, Mr. Aumpong said. The National Health Security Office has given Ketsari's family financial assistance of 400,000 of their currency. Wow. Again, the pro is going to say she died from the vaccine. The con is going to say, oh no, she had this and she had that and she had whatever. And again, the pro are going to say, well, she didn't have any of those things. She was probably a healthy kid otherwise until she took that stupid vaccine, and now she's dead and amputated and had a stroke and had all of these complications. Obviously, very atypical for somebody that's young. And it's being reported in the news, at least in Thailand it is. This is serious stuff, man. We've got a lot of young people here, and it makes me think, you know, not to be conspiratorial and not to have a tinfoil hat, but how often is this happening here? And because we have a more sophisticated and more illicit media that says, oh, we're not going to report that. We're going to say they died of, you know, whatever, an apparent overdose, you know? Oh, apparently she was taking whatever in addition to this. It had nothing to do with that. I mean, I don't understand what's wrong with saying certain people, and it could be a small percentage, and I don't know the number, but some percentage of people are dying because of the vaccine. And I think that's a conversation we need to have. Another interesting thing is how they try to downplay one's natural immunity. And they do it so much that you start to think, well, maybe, you know, if you take the synthetic immunity, it's a little better. And then I think, is anybody offering you money if you haven't had COVID for your blood? Because if you have had COVID, they are offering you money and they're offering all sorts of services and incentives and whatever it is. They're saying, give us your blood. We want a donation. Even if they don't pay you for it, they're begging for it. If you've had COVID, they want your convalescent plasma. People that have the antibodies. They want your antibodies. So to say that, you know, the vaccine is the way to go when nobody's going after people saying, oh, you got the vaccine? Let me get some of that blood. Can you donate? Right? It's the craziest thing in the world. This is a horrible story, and I laugh not at the severity of the story, but at the sad state of affairs that we're in. Not good. Not good. Now, regarding Poopy Pants Biden, well, you know what? We'll get into that on the other side of this. Don't move a muscle. I am Rich Valdez. This is America.
This is America. This is America.
All right, America, welcome back. Rich Valdez, Valdez with an S, and we are here looking at a few hours to go before the end of Election Day. It's Election Day in New York City. It's Election Day in New Jersey. Election Day in Virginia. And as we look at these elections, it reminds me of the last day of campaigning. I was with Curtis Sliwa and with Governor George Pataki for a little bit as he was, again, endorsing Curtis and making a last push for people to get out there and vote in New York City. And I think it's such a pivotal time. You know, everybody keeps sending me these messages and emails and texts. Do you think Curtis has a shot? And, you know, I don't get offended by it, but it does bother me. Does he have a shot? Who is any of us to say who has a shot and doesn't have a shot? Now, you can say, well, no, put your emotion to the side, Rich. I mean, it's just a matter of, it's a matter of what? It's a matter of, we just heard Chuck Todd say that Biden's taken the country over a cliff and we're headed in the wrong direction, and that the majority of Democrats think Republicans are better at the economy. So you tell me, if you're a Republican candidate, is this not the best time to be running? Of course it is. Biden's destroying America, and it's trickling down to every city and street and family and business in the country. So, yes, everybody has a shot at winning. I went to go vote. There was no line, nobody waiting. There was more poll workers than people. So what does that say? Low turnout. Low turnout always does well for Republicans. 6 o'clock in the morning, you see all those 80-year-olds and they're online and they're ready to go vote. They're not playing. And usually they're voting for Republicans because Republicans always take this thing seriously. Go to a Republican Party event and you'll see it's filled with 80-year-olds. They take this stuff so seriously. So yes, I think when it comes to voting, they're out early on rainy days, snowy days, whatever it is. Republicans have the advantage. So I think everybody has a shot today. A real, what they call a puncher's chance, right? You know, you're a fist away from winning. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to happen. Phil Murphy's a heck of a charming guy. Like I've told you, he's been in my driveway talking to my parents. And I was trying to shoo him away. But he's actually a very affable guy, despite my dislike and disdain for a lot of his choices on policy. That's just a fact. So what do? We get out there and we year round stay prepared like a SWAT team to get out there and vote, to make sure we're bringing our friends and our family, making sure that we've asked 6 months in advance for the day off so that we can go and vote. Because that's how you win elections. And I am not going to entertain any more. I've been doing this for a year already of, oh, but if you don't fix the 2020 election. Listen, sometimes you get punched in the face and you get robbed. That happens. That doesn't mean every time you walk out the door of your house, you're going to get robbed. Punto y final, period, the end. It's not going to happen every single time. And that's really all I can say. So many people are so fixated on the negative. So many people are just asking for mistreatment, asking for negativity, asking to lose time and again. I reject it and I refuse it. I believe we can win. I've always believed in winning. If I thought that we would lose at everything we did, I would have given up a long time ago. It's time to put on our big boy and big girl pants. We got to get it done. And I think we're going to. So make sure if you're listening to this today, get out and vote. If you're catching it on the podcast and you're a day behind, no problem. Hope you got out and voted. And on the next episode of This is America, we're going to talk about what happened. Who won in New Jersey? Who won in Virginia? Who won in New York City? Hopefully it's not one of these multi-day counts where they're, you know, dragging it out. It seems like they were laying the stage for that with Glenn Youngkin and Mark Elias in Virginia. We'll see. You know, every indication I've seen, You've got rural Virginia voters that have come out and said, you know what? I haven't waited online this long in a long time. And I voted. And the indication is that they're voting for Youngkin. So he's up by a little bit. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens with Jack Ciccarelli in New Jersey. Again, he is a, Ciccarelli. I don't know if I said that right. Ciccarelli was the guy from Hashways. Anybody from North Bergen that's listening. Anyway, we need to make sure that we do get out and vote. That's the bottom line. So it all comes down to this. Like I always say, you got to stand for something, because if you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. And the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good people like you to sit there and do nothing. Don't sit there and do nothing. Do something. Go to your school board and give them hell. Go to your town meeting and give them hell. Do what you got to do. Take it to the streets. I love what I'm seeing. The left isn't the only side that can make some noise and make change. Hasta la próxima. Until the next one, I am Rich Valdez, and this is America.
This is America.